Take your Bibles, please. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to read through chapter 3, verse number 4. Now, I sometimes make this statement, if you'll listen while you're turning. The Bible was written in manuscript form. By that I mean this. Be about like writing a book, okay? It was written, each one of the books of the Bible was in paragraph form, not in verse and chapter form like we have. Does everybody understand that? The translators put it together as far as chapters and verses for convenience, reference for us. I'm not saying they were wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. But not always did they break things exactly where I may have, or maybe even where God had. They may have broken things in a paragraph, but those paragraphs were related. So sometimes you'll see me use verses from one chapter and go right into another chapter because they're all related. Does that make sense to everybody? It doesn't mean that the Bible is wrong. Just so you know, it's taking it from manuscript form, putting into what we call chapter and verse form. Okay, does everybody understand that? I'm not casting doubt on the Bible. It's just the way things were. So, Colossians chapter 2, we're going to start reading in verse 17. I'm going to read through chapter 3, verse number 4. We are continuing our study on making biblical sense of our senses. Here we go, verse 17 of chapter 2. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, notice that's capital, that's in reference to Jesus, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered, and knit together increased with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, ye are subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, and not any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, and not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, let me help you. Tonight, I want to help you on and in many different levels and areas of your life. Okay, if you'll give me your mind for a little bit, we're going to use our Bibles, keep it open. We're going to flip back and forth to a few places here, but I really want to help you. This truth will help you understand life better. It's going to help you understand especially the Christian life better, and it will help you understand heaven better. Either for you in anticipation of getting there or for people that are already there in our understanding of where and what they are doing, this will help you. Now, I say that to say this. Life and death have many different definitions. Liberals try to say life begins when a child is born outside the womb and draws its own breath outside the womb. I don't believe that's true. I believe scripturally that life begins at conception. Amen. When life is conceived, it is life. That's God's definition of it. I know people who have been on life support, and their body was pumping, but there was no brain activity. And though the machine said they were alive, that was the only thing keeping them alive. I've seen it to where we've unplugged the machine. I didn't pull the plug, just so you know, the doctors did. But when the plug was pulled, they immediately ceased their body from existing anymore. And the only thing keeping them going was a machine. I've seen others who lingered sometimes minutes, sometimes hours, sometimes days or weeks or months. You say, what was that? Now, some would say, well, they're not really there. They're in a coma. They're near death. That's not really life anyway, but they are alive, just so you know. So there's different definitions of life and death. Everybody understand where I'm headed with that one? Okay, now hang in there. God gave us our senses to experience life. Let me help you with this. God gave us five senses. He gave you hearing. He gave you sight. He gave you smell. He gave you taste. And he gave you touch. All right? Four of the five senses are on your head. Amen? He put them in a good spot so that you didn't have to look for them. They're right there in front of your face. Matter of fact, they are your face. God gave us our senses so that we could experience life here on earth as he experienced and wanted us to experience life. We were created in his image. That means we had been given the same senses that God had. Now, when man sinned, man began to corrupt his senses. I won't take you back to our first Bible study, but if you went to Genesis chapter 3, Satan used sight, he used taste, and he used touch in the first temptation for sin. The first sin was tempted by three of the senses. And when man sinned, his eyes were opened, watch this, and he began to realize his senses were controlling him, not the obedience to the words of God. That's why he hid himself and told God, well, we covered ourselves with aprons because we were afraid because we were naked. He said, who told you? In other words, your eyes and your senses took control over the obedience to the word of God. Everybody understand that? And go back and listen to the first lesson. I went into great detail on that. This will help you. Now, these senses do not give us life. Do you know you could lose your eyes, but you're still alive? You could lose your hearing, and you're still alive. You could lose your sense of smell. And if you're having infants and diapers in your house, that would be a blessing. But you could lose your sense of smell and still be alive. You could lose your sense of taste. I think I said this a week or two ago. I have an aunt who for years couldn't taste anything. Food had absolutely zero flavor to her at all. None. She just ate because she was supposed to. She had no taste whatsoever. She could eat sardines, she could eat filet mignon, or she could eat a raw onion, and it all tasted the same to her. Now, in some ways, that would be good. I could eat my vegetables and not complain, but I would like to enjoy the taste of things. Now, I say that to say this. None of these senses give us life. I know some people who they have a rare disease. They don't feel pain. It's a very rare disease, but I've met two people in my life, they couldn't sense pain. And it's dangerous. You say, whoa, that would be great. No, it's not. Pain's there to keep you from getting hurt worse. A couple weeks ago when Brother Barnes and I were doing wood and he set 400-pound log on my hand, it was letting me know, get your hand out of there in a hurry, stupid. Say, why? Because it was painful. If you couldn't sense pain, I could have done a lot more damage because I didn't feel what was going on. Everybody understand that? And that's why pain is a good deterrent from getting hurt worse. Now, matter of fact, I'm going to make a statement here. Did you know you could live with none of the five of your senses? If you're in a coma, if you're unconscious, you're living with none of your senses working. And you're still alive. Now, you're not enjoying life, but you're still alive. Now, God made us with these senses like his so that we could enjoy the world as he intended. By the way, our sin causes man to want to be his own God. It's an important statement. When Satan tempted Eve and Adam in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, he said, wouldn't you like to be like God, knowing good and evil? In other words, wouldn't you like to be like God and decide right and wrong, good and evil for yourself? You won't need God. You could be like God. Hello. And from that day forward, when they decided they would be God and not listen to God, they disobeyed God to eat of that tree. Man has struggled with being God. Now, listen to this statement. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Make a statement while you're turning there. Our sin has caused man to want to be his own God and has put a perversion on our senses because of it. Look at Romans chapter 1. It'd help if I get there. Look at verse number 25. It's in here somewhere. Who changed the truth of God. Well, let's look at verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served, watch this, the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Did you realize when man chose to sin, man began to serve the creature and worship the creature more than the Creator? He was loving himself and how life affected him more than the one who created all life. And that is why, by the way, he said, who changed the truth of God into a lie. What did the devil do? He twisted the truth of God into a lie. Man can't be his own God and make it to heaven. He changed the truth of God into a lie. And now man worships the creature more than the Creator. By the way, let me say this. That's why the world will believe evolution. That's why the world believes in global warming. That's why you have your tree huggers of today. Let me put it down where we live. Did you know that everybody still believes that we came from the earth? That's why they call it Mother Earth. Mother Nature. In other words, we came from it. But they don't want to acknowledge that it's God, not just a spinning blob of dirt. Everybody doing okay? Man wants to worship the creature more than the Creator. Now, man, left to himself without God, can only see this life and this world through his senses. His spirit is dead, and he cannot see eternal life. Do you know the average lost person and most lost people can't see past the grave? Is all they see is this life. And they either discount what's beyond the grave, they say it's not there, or they say, well, we'll eventually all get to the same place anyway, so it really doesn't matter. That's how lost man looks at the grave. Or they say, I'll just cease to be, and I'll be in an eternal state of sleep. In other words, I'll ignore it, and I'll be my own God. Now, listen to me very carefully. This is where we're going to start running a little faster. Our world is filled with and run by lost people that only look at this world as the only life that there is. Our world is filled with people running this world, running our governments, running our businesses, running our schools, running everything there is all around the world, and the only thing they see is what is here right now in their lifetime. That's where you're save the trees. Oh, if we don't save the trees, our children won't have any trees. Folks, proven fact, there are more trees in the world today than there was 6,000 years ago. Proven fact. If you went back 40 years, 30 years, some of you that are my age or older, when you were young, you never saw a wild turkey. Now, they're everywhere. Can I tell you why? We've been managing the hunting of them, and when man manages it God's way, it multiplies. Sometimes you have to tear down to build up. Can I tell you why we have mudslides in California and forest fires all the time? Because in a forest, you're not allowed to go in and clear out all the dead debris. In any national forest, you have to leave it what they call as pristine as it was, naturally as it came. So what happens is all the dead stuff falls down. You get an electrical storm or somebody lights a match. It gets crispy critters out there because it's dry. And one ember lights the whole thing, and you lose thousands of square miles of trees because we didn't go in and clean up the way God intended us to go in and clean up. Plain and simple. Southern California. Oh, we're in such a bad drought. 97% of all the water that hits Southern California runs right into the ocean. They won't let them capture it. 1 inch of rain in L.A. brings over 10 billion gallons of water onto L.A., and all of it runs right back out into the ocean. They don't catch any of it. I don't feel sorry for them. Well, we don't want to ruin the natural things. You know how many canyons there are out there? All they got to do is dam up two canyons, one at one end, one at the other. They'd have enough water to take care of our whole country. They don't want to solve the problem. They want to tax people and keep them in a state of let's just control you that much more. Let's take more of your money, etc., etc., etc. Now, according to Genesis 1:28. Since the first sin, man has been governed by his senses when he's lost. Now, a lost person only has this life to see. By the way, listen to this statement. A carnal Christian is a saved person living and thinking like a lost person. They're letting their carnality, their fleshliness control them, instead of the Word of God. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I really don't want to take time, but I'm going to. I'm going to read 14 verses. I'm going to read with a northern accent, so hang on. I'm going to fly, all right? Some of you are going to have to just follow your finger. Brother Stoltz, that means put your finger on it and follow it, all right? Get it out of your nose and put it in your Bible. Here we go. Verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Notice, quicken your mortal bodies. The Holy Spirit can bring life to your mortal body. That's your senses. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortally the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, look at me, and I'll try to rapidly translate this and get to the message very quickly here. when you are lost, your body and soul, and you're living by sense only. You're sensual. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves inside of you. God brings life. He quickens your mortal body, and he brings life to your senses. Watch this. Now no more are you controlled by your senses. You have the ability to be controlled by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, who can override those senses to do that which God commanded you to do. Make sense to everybody? Now, watch this. A carnal Christian is saved, but is allowing his flesh or his senses to rule him. And he's not in the spirit, he's in the flesh. That's why when the disciples denied Jesus and they forsook Jesus, they were living in the flesh, not the spirit. Well, I wonder if they were even saved. People are trying to judge their spirituality. It's not ours to judge. They were living in the flesh. Period. Say, well, if they were living in the flesh, how could they be saved? Because God says you can be a carnal Christian. Every one of us are carnal at some point in time in our life. Usually many times. Now, here we go. I have 18 minutes. Listen fast. Here we go. Number one, the body of the saved is the temple of the Holy Spirit, or the house of God. Take your Bible for 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just a few pages over. Get your fingers warmed up. We're going to use them. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Can I tell you something? If you live an immoral life as a Christian, God is going to break down your temple faster, because it is where the Holy Spirit of God dwells. It's supposed to be holy. The Old Testament, the tabernacle was holy. The Ark of the Covenant was a holy place. That's the place where the Ark of the Covenant was, and the mercy seat. And once a year, the Shekinah glory of God would come down and dwell on that once a year, symbolizing that he was with his people for another year. Well, in the New Testament, the place where God dwells is the inside the believer. Your body is just as holy as the Old Testament Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. It's virtually the same thing. All right, same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse number 19. Just a page or two over, 1 Corinthians 6, look at verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, we are supposed to, as the Holy Spirit is indwelling us after we get saved, we're supposed to let the Spirit and the Word of God guide our life so that we don't live the carnal life, we live a spiritual life. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit moves into us. By the way, it is the Holy Spirit that gives life to our spirit. We won't take time to turn there, but John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, talk about that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And Jesus said, ye must be born again. And the only way it's born again is by the Holy Spirit rebirthing man's spirit at salvation. That is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, according to John chapter 6, verse number 63, Romans chapter 8, verse number 11, it is the Spirit that quickens us. We read Romans 8, 11 just a little while ago. It says, for by the Spirit quickeneth your mortal bodies. It quickeneth your spirit. That word quicken means to bring to life, to breathe life into. It doesn't mean to get faster. It means to literally breathe life into you. It quickens. It brings you alive. If you cut your fingernail too far back, you hit something. What do they call that? The quick. That's the living part underneath the nail. Amen. How many of you have ever done that before? You stuck something all the way into that part and you couldn't get it out fast enough. Or if you got a splinter in there and then you got to dig it out. Oh, it gets real exciting. It hits that quick, and you know it right away because it's alive and it's letting you know it's alive. And you have irritated it real bad. And then you're not real smart. You stick your hand in a bag of potato chips and get salt in that thing, and it really becomes alive. Now, the body of the saved, the body of the believer, is the temple or the house or the shell of God. Now, number two. I did that in 3 minutes. That's pretty good. Amen. Number two. Salvation is dying to the flesh in man's way to obey God and trust God. Salvation is us dying to our own way to heaven, our own being God, and trusting God and what he did to take us there. It is dying to our fleshly way and accepting what God said in his word. Salvation is an act of us dying to our flesh and living to what God said. Did you know trusting God is not a natural thing for man because we're sinners? Here's what I hear most often. It can't be that easy. I should have to earn it. I got to do something to get it. No, you don't. You're a sinner. You can't do anything to get it. You got to die to yourself and then trust him to get you there. The moment you do, he brings you to life, and then you can start earning rewards in heaven. But you cannot earn heaven. Now, take your Bible. We were in Colossians chapter 2 just a little while ago. That's where we started. Let's turn back there. Colossians chapter 2. Some of you are going to learn where these books are before too long. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, ye are subject to ordinances. Watch this. Touch not, that's a sense. Taste not, that's a sense. Handle not, that's a sense. Which are all are to perish with the using. Remember last week I taught about as we get old, our senses start wearing out a little bit. We don't feel the things we used to feel. We don't hear like we used to hear. Things don't taste as good as they used to taste. Yes, April needs a hearing aid. We don't see like we used to see. Good night. If I take my glasses off, I can't hardly see. Everything's fuzzy. And I mean everything. It takes a while for my eyes to adjust, and I definitely can't read. My arms are not near long enough to read without glasses anymore. But I will say this, the older you get, the more your senses begin to wear down a little bit because of use, just like your tires. Amen, Brother Mark? The more you run them, the more they wear down. And eventually, they go bald. Not going there. But they lose tread. They lose traction. And our senses are the same way. Now, I want you to notice something. Salvation is dying to the flesh. The works people try to use this statement. Well, you need to repent of all your sins, and you need to have a change of life to prove your sincerity to God. No, they want to see works. Repentance is, I've been working myself to get to heaven and realized I'm a sinner and I can't get there. Brother Joe, I'm going to trust what Jesus said in that book to take me to heaven, and that alone. The moment I turned from trusting self to trusting Jesus, I repented. It is a turning from self to what God said. That act of going from trusting self to trusting Jesus is the act of repentance. Salvation and repentance go together. They're one and the same. They're not a separate act. You can't get saved without repenting, because before you're saved, you're trusting your flesh. You're trusting yourself. To get saved, you quit trusting self and trust Jesus. And that act alone immediately is repentance. It's not a matter of works. The thief on the cross didn't have time to get down and get baptized and live a good life. But Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Where was his repentance at? What good works did he do? None. He just said, would you remember me? I don't deserve to go to heaven. Jesus said, if you just trust me, I'll take you there. He said, I'll do it. The other one said, Jesus, prove yourself. Prove your works. Prove who you say you are. If thou be the Son of God, get down and take us down with you. That's your work salvation crowd. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun here. Now, the death of man is trusting, going from trusting self to trusting God. By the way, it's like planting a seed. Do you know that if you leave the seed on the shelf, it won't grow? You got to plant it. It has to die before it takes root, before it springs forth. Watch this. I've been working. I can't get there on my own. I'm never going to grow. So I'll take what I cannot do, for by grace are you saved through faith. I take that faith that God gave me in obedience to the word of God. I plant it and say, I'll do what you say, and salvation begins to grow. It's germinated that quick. That's what salvation is. The lights don't flash. You don't flip and flop on the floor unless you hit the electric cord. None of that stuff happens, but you begin to grow. It germinates at salvation. Now, the battle for the Christian is staying dead from our flesh and being ruled by the Spirit. Being dead to our senses and being ruled by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and the commandments of God. Colossians chapter 2, again. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, verse 20, from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, you're subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and a will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. If ye then be risen with Christ, in other words, if ye be saved, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not things on earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now watch this. Carnal Christianity means you're looking at life. You're only looking at today, tomorrow, and the future. You're looking at what was, what is, and what life I got left here. But do you know what spiritual life is? It's saying, this life's just that quick and it's over. There's an eternity out there, and I'm going to try to live for that eternity. Whatever happens between here and eternity, we'll let it happen, but I'm living for what's out there, not what's right here. I love the song, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Hey, can I tell you something? This world is not our home. We're just passing through. This is just the preliminaries. This is just getting ready for the real living. The real living for the Christian comes in heaven, comes in eternity. Do you know how much 100 years is in comparison to eternity? That much. A second, maybe. It's just a blip. It's just, instantaneous. Good night. My daughter's going to be 18 years old next month. I can't hardly believe my baby's going to be 18. She'll be, in her mind, a legal adult. Say, when's she a legal adult? When I let her be. She sent me a picture this week. It's a father and a daughter at a gun range, Brother Brining. And they're both shooting. And she said, I'm secure with my daddy being my daddy and everything's going to be fine. My future boyfriends are not quite so certain. I like that. I thought it was pretty good. So, number one, the body of the saved is the temple or the house of God. Salvation is dying to the flesh and man's ways to obey God's truth and God's ways. Now, when we do that, number three, when we get saved, God gives new life to our senses. God brings new life, spiritual life, to our senses. take your body, take your body in your finger and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Ay, ay, ay. You say as many words as I've said in the last 20 minutes and find out how many mistakes you make, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to look at two verses here. And I want you to see something, and then I'm going to make just a few statements and I'm done. Verse number 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new, what's the next word? Creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Look at me. Some of you got saved older in life. Some of you drank, smoked, did drugs, whatever. Brother Stoltz was a long-haired hippie at one time. He's still a long-haired hippie. He's only got three hairs and just winds them around his head. But Brother Stoltz was a bit wild when he was growing up. Didn't get saved till you're, what, 20? Something like that, 19, 20, something like that, if I remembered right. 20 years old. He did things before he got saved. Didn't you drink? Okay, other than water. He'll tell you, before he got saved, that tasted good to him. Once you get saved and start living for God, it doesn't taste good anymore, does it? Thought of it was repulsive. What happened? His sense of taste changed because of salvation. Drugs were appealing before salvation. But once a person starts living for God, those drugs do not satisfy, and that sense changes. God has a way of changing our senses by the life given to the spirit of man. I said this before. You become a new creature or a new creation. Our senses now have a spirit to guide, lead, and direct them. Did you know that saved people can live carnal lives, but they're not going to enjoy it as much as a lost person? Why? Because they have a spirit that's bothering them. They have a spirit that is bothering them. Young people, listen to me. Everybody 17, 18 years old and younger, listen to me. You do not have to go out into the world, live like the world, listen to the world's music, act like the world, drink like the world, and be immoral like the world to enjoy life. I'm here to tell you. You're looking at somebody who didn't do those things, and I'm happier than anybody in the world. You're happiest when you're obeying God. I know that doesn't always make sense right now, but trust somebody that's got more sense in their little finger than you got in your whole head. Why is it that so many of these adults are running away from that stuff and telling you don't go there? It's not because they don't want you to have fun. They've already been there and know it's not fun. Boy, that's a good statement. Lost man can only see life through his senses. He only has a body and a soul. And he is led like an animal by his senses. That's why our world is worse than the average barnyard. Our world is more chaotic than a herd of cats. I'm not kidding. Our world is more chaotic than any farm in the world. Good night, Brother Joe. You know this is true. I've been around cows some, not as much as others. But one of the farms I get to hunt, about dinner time, that farmer will go out there and he'll whoo-whoo, some kind of crazy call. I don't care how far away those cows are. All of a sudden you see, and then they go, and then they're all in a straight line. I don't care where they're at. They just start running. They could be they could be a half mile away. I've seen them do it from that far away. And they heard that sound. What's that mean? Free dinner, and they don't have to bend down to get it. It's going to be there. They know that holler. Kind of like lost people. Hey, let's go party. All right, let's go. Same thing. Bible says, as sheep led to the slaughter. You know, sheep are stupid. Cows are stupid. Take them to the slaughterhouse. Hey, come on, let's go, let's go. Here we go. Where are you going? I don't know, but we're going to get a ride there. They see all these lines like they're used to at the farm. Maybe they're going to feed us. They smell that hay. Here we go. Hey. Next thing, they're on your plate. Amen. That was pretty funny, wasn't it? I got down where some of you live, finally. Lost man can only enjoy life through his senses. I'm going to read two verses to you. I won't make you turn there, but the Bible says in the book of James, hang on here, Hebrews, James, Peter, there we go. I knew it was in here. James 3:15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Wow. Sensual and devilish found together. Book of Jude, verse 19. It's the only other time the word sensual is used. Verse 19. These be they who have separated themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. When we are being led by our senses, we are being led without the Spirit. Young people, listen to me. When it becomes time for you to date, when you're in college, I don't believe teenagers ought to date. I'm going to go to my grave saying it, but I'm going to say it. Young people that haven't got out of high school don't have any business dating. But listen to me, you don't date just because he's cute. Number one, he's not. Just because he's big and strong. Just because she smells pretty, fellas, doesn't mean that that's the reason you're supposed to date her. That's sensual. That's appealing to the eyes or to the nose. We're supposed to date by the Spirit of God. And find the one God has for you. I'll say it this way. Divorce court's full of pretty people. Divorce court's full of strong people. So it must not been just the prettiness or the strength. Divorce court's full of perfume. Divorce court's full of people that can cook. So it must be something else, huh? When we are led by our senses, we are not being led by the Spirit of God. When we let our senses override what God says in that book, we're living a dead life. We need this book so that we learn how God says we're supposed to live so that we can enjoy this life as God intended us to enjoy it. That's how simple it is. My mom had surgery on Monday. Drove up just before her surgery to be with her and pray with her. I get to be pastor and son at that moment. There was a nurse getting ready to wheel her back. I said, hold on. She said, why? I said, I'm going to pray with her. She said, oh, I didn't realize you were the pastor. I thought you were her son. I said, I get to be both. She said, wow. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, you're not taking my mama without me praying. I said, let me rephrase that. You're not taking my church member without me praying. And I prayed. I got done, and that little old nurse was, she had tears in her eyes. She said, that was sweet. She said, I'm glad you came here to do that for your mama. I said, I can take you to church and show you people I've done it with all over the place. I said, it's a little more special when it's your own mama. I said, but I do it everywhere I go. She said, that's very nice. I said, no, that's why it's called being a Christian. We're supposed to love one another the right way. Gave my mama a kiss. She said, I'll see you later. My dad kissed her, and she said, goodbye. I said, don't you dare say that. That nurse looked. She said, you're right. See you later. I said, we don't say goodbye. That little nurse, and as they wheeled my mama down the hall, my mama was telling that nurse why we don't say goodbye. I thought, you know, if my mama goes to heaven under the knife right now, last thing I heard her doing was telling somebody about eternity. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are we living carnal lives? Are we living a dead life with our senses because of how we feel? Because how something has affected our feelings? Or are we going to live with a spiritual sense about ourselves?